It's been a long time. I believe it's 26 and a half years. And in the last hour or so, I've had a lot of emotions flying through me, and I'll tell you about one or two in a minute. But you might be thinking, for those of you who don't know me, how does a South African connect with a church like this in Bryan College Station? It was the end of my time at Sunset, and many of us hit the road for 2 or 3 weeks at a time looking for support. And churches like this were fair game. You know, every missionary, potential missionary, got in his car and was heading out there looking for money. And I had some wonderful plans and ideas with a group of us that were going to South Africa to work with the Xhosa people. And I had my story down. And I headed out from Lubbock in my V8 Oldsmobile. Never driven a car that big in my life. And I was having a problem. It's every church that I hit, they'd say, "Oh yeah, John Reese was here." And he was an American fellow that had spent a couple of years in South Africa. And we pledged some money to him. I got to the next church, and they'd say, "Oh yeah, John Reese was here, and we're meeting this Friday or this Sunday to budget some money for him." And I don't know where it was, Waco or Hillsborough or someplace like that, but I thought, this John Reese, he's getting in my way. And there might have been another couple of impure thoughts that went through. So I put the pedal to the metal on the old Oldsmobile, and I skipped a couple of towns. Got ahead of him. And I arrived at Hearn, and I spoke to the Huddlestons, Dr. Huddleston and Maxine, and went in and spoke, and they'd never heard of John Reese. And I gave them my story, and I stayed there for a day or so, and jumped in my car, and never been to Bryan before in my life, and stopped at some gas station, said, "Where are the Churches of Christ?" And they told me there's one down the road. I pulled in and met a wonderful guy, Brother Perkins. Anybody remember him? Awesome, awesome, awesome man. And I said to him, "Has John Reese been here?" And he said, "No." That was the beginning of my relationship with this church. And a wonderful man, Brother Perkins, listened to my story, called James Norman. You all remember James, right? What a guy. Quiet fella, sat and listened, said, "Well, we'll talk about it." And for years, this church supported me. The time I was in Africa, and I finally left there and went to another dark continent, New York. And for the 5 years in New York, this church stuck by me. And eventually, I ended up here. I could reminisce for hours, but give me another 1 or 2 minutes. Get into the Word. I probably learned the greatest lesson in humility at this church. Greatest lesson in humility. In fact, I went out and wrote a book called How I Achieved Greatness Through My Humility. I was teaching a Bible class here, and I was in my mid-30s, and I knew everything. You know, I was a walking Bible encyclopedia. And I was teaching this Bible class. Back then we had pews here, and Brother Robert Smith was sitting back there, and I was just making a point. point out of the Gospel of John. I don't know what point I was making right now, but I was making it. And anybody who knows Robert, he's a very gentle, quiet spirit. And he said, "Mike, I think you're wrong on that. Who does he think he is? I'm the preacher here. I know everything." Well, I argued with him in class, and he graciously kept quiet. I went home, and it bothered me, and I got out my Bible, got out my concordances, and doggone it, he was right. Came the next Sunday in front of the whole adult Bible class here. I said, "Robert, you were Robert there. You were right. Thank you, Robert. Taught me a great lesson." One day, James Norman came to me and said, "Some big church in Dallas-Fort Worth called and wanted to interview you for a job. But I told them you weren't interested." And I said, "Please, James, can I tell them?" Anybody remember Lizzie Bade? Nobody remember? What a character. Came to Texas in a covered wagon. And she was a member here. Now, because of censorship rules, I cannot tell you everything she said because some of the things were inappropriate. But what a lady. For those of you who remember Lizzie Bade, it was a blessing having her here. For those who don't, hit me out on the side and I'll tell you some stories. Thomas Norman, thank you for doing what you did with my son. You know, when kids get to be teenagers, they realize their parents know absolutely nothing, right? Thomas, even though he was a young man at that time, took my son, who was about, 15 at the time, and literally discipled him. Today, my son is a gracious, respectful, good human being. And a lot of that has to do with Thomas Norman sitting right there. We taught him to say, "Yes, sir, no, sir. Be polite. Work hard. Work many an hour with you. Tying steel." We taught him the work ethic. Thank you. I thank God every day for you, Thomas. And then, one last thing. I said, my heart soared today many times. But I remember this little kid. Dark eyes, dark hair, called Brent Pomansky. You know, a little bit of a weird kid, actually. You know, but didn't say much. As I sat here, down there, listen to what this young man had to say, I felt good about the future. I really did. I heard the emotion in your voice. I heard your concern. God bless you. God bless you. And all the others like him that are out there today. You know, we've all grown a little bit older. Some of us are still here. Some of us have gone on to be with the Lord. Others have come and replaced those who've gone. I love the way God keeps on issuing new stock. I'd like to reminisce a lot more, but I've only got about 40 minutes left, so. At times like this, I get a little bit philosophical. I get just a little bit emotional. And I start to think about the meaning of life, you know. I'm not old. Elder's old, but I'm not. What is it all about? You know, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I have grandkids. They are mean, they are nasty. You know, mine. This is Grand's car. If I tell them to do anything, they look at their grandmother and say, I've got aches. I've got pains. When I was here, I used to be down at that track. You know, that, literally that rubber track. What's that? Oh, hey, Melissa. I used to go with Melissa. We used to jog around the track. I have aches and pains, and I can't run anymore, and the years are ticking by. And it seems that even at its simplest, life gets very, very complex, and it shouldn't be, because all we do is eat, sleep, and drink, go to bed, get up the next day, and we only have to do that for 70 years by reason of strength, 80 years. And, you know, Jesus said something about this life, and he said, in this life you have tribulation, trouble. I don't like that. In this life you have tribulation. Solomon really blows my mind when he says, vanity, oh vanity, all is vanity and striving after the wind. I mean, that's bad, but then he also says, the following, what advantage does man have in all his work in which he does under the sun? Thanks a lot, Solomon. I really needed that. I just don't know how smart you were. But you know, life has to be lived, right? Life has to be lived, and it doesn't cry, or doesn't help to cry and say, I didn't ask to be born. Any of you say that to your parents ever? I did. Life is a learning process, and hopefully we're learning. As we go down life's pathway, hopefully we're learning just a little bit. Otherwise, we make the same old mistakes again. This morning as we celebrate, I want to share just 2 points with you now. My dear Sunset brother over there will tell you that every good sermon has 3 points. Well, I'm short-circuiting this and I'm only going to make 2 points today. I want you to listen to these 2 points. The one will depress you. The first point is going to depress you. I hope the second point will make your heart soar. I hope the second point will get you dancing. I hope the second point that I make today will get you so enthused and so excited about what God is doing for you and how much God cares about you. When it comes to life, living this life, there's only 2 things that I really know. First point is that I don't know a lot. I really don't know a whole bunch. I don't know why there is so much poverty in the world. I go back to Africa to visit my family, and I see the poverty, and it breaks my heart. People there barely have enough food to eat, clothes to wear. I spent 5 weeks in India, folks. I cried every single day while I was in India. I don't know why. In this world where we have such technology and we have such wealthy people, I don't know why some people have to be so poor. I don't know why disease has to be so rampant. I remember in India one time in the villages out there, I don't know where I was, but there was nothing else around. I remember after preaching a meeting one time, these little old ladies coming to me, they couldn't weigh 70 pounds each, holding up their hands, and all they had was little nubs. Leprosy had taken their fingers off. And the translators saying to me, they want you to pray for them. They want you to pray that the leprosy will stop. And I'm thinking, leprosy, that's a Bible disease. That doesn't happen anymore. Why is it happening today? And all I could do was cry and say, God, I don't understand. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why we have all the social problems that we have today. I don't know why this country is so crazy about drugs. You know, it's getting worse, folks. It's not getting better. Alcoholism, abortion, homosexuality, pornography. I don't know why people are killing one another the way they are. You know, we've got ISIS killing, crucifying children, cutting heads off. I don't know why stuff like this is happening. But you know, It's nothing new. It's been happening for a long, long time. Those of you who remember the Hutsis and the Tutsis in Rwanda, close to 1 million people killed within a year. If you remember the Biafran War in Nigeria, 2 million killed there. The war in Bosnia in Eastern Europe, it's going on all the time. Somalia, 9/11, it hit home. I don't know why this stuff goes on. I don't know why that young couple, and I wish I could remember their names, why their little baby that was only a few days old died of that terrible SIDS syndrome, whatever it is. And the little casket was about so long. I don't know why that happened. And I remember not being able to do anything except just cry with them. I don't know why my friend Alvin Neal, any of you remember Alvin Neal, came to this church for the first couple of years that I was here, paid his own way down here, worked with us. I don't know why Alvin was diagnosed 2 weeks ago with Alzheimer's. He's fitter than what I am. In his mid-70s, and he's losing his mind. I could go on and on and on. But here's the worst one, maybe. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And this is one that probably scares a whole lot of us. There's a biggie, first of all. Are we all going to be alive tomorrow? I don't know. Is that doctor's report going to come through and say, hey, Mike, it's cancer. It's too late. Is the boss going to come to you and this job that you've held in times when jobs are tough to find? Is the boss suddenly going to say, hey, I'll let you go? Those kids that you're trying to raise, you know, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, phew, they go off in left field and they do crazy things. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You see, folks, I could go on and on. There's a whole lot that we don't. Leave you with this today. I know one thing, and I want to share that with you today. It's a precious promise to God's children. It's for those days when you don't know. For those days when things aren't necessarily going right. It's for those dark days. It's for those scary days. It's for those trying days. When all the earthly props that you have hold you up, give way. When your friends can't do anything for you. When your inner strength is just slowly but surely disappearing. I want to set the scene for the text that we're going to look at. God had used a fellow called Moses. You all know the story. Put there in the river. Egyptian princess finds him. He's brought up in the palaces, trained, educated. God uses this fella to take his people who are in bondage in Egypt, who cried out to God to deliver them. God says, Moses, I got you ready for a time like this. And Moses leads God's people out. For 40 years, I'm short-circuiting the story right now. For 40 years, as they complain and gripe and make all kinds of mistakes, Moses is there leading them towards that place called the Promised Land. And now, after 40 years, at the very border of the Promised Land, God has said, Moses, you can't go in. I'm going to let you see the land. But you can't go. In fact, you're going to go up to Mount Nebo to die. It's at this point that Moses gathers all the tribes of Israel together. And there he stands Bible says that he stood erect. Even though he was 120 years old, he had 20/20 vision, and his energy had not left him. I want to take whatever pill he was taking. And he starts to bless all of the tribes, just as Isaac had blessed Jacob and Esau, and just as Jacob had blessed his 12 sons. Now this patriarch, this one who had led them out of the land of Egypt and had brought them to the promised land, and they were ready to rush in, their metaphorical father stands before them and pronounces blessings on each tribe. And I want you to hear this. And to the tribe of Asher, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25, Moses says the following: "As your days, so shall your strength be also." As your days, so shall your strength be also. As your days, so shall your strength be also. Folks, that's the one thing I know. That's what I want us all to know today. As your days, so shall your strength be also. There's a couple of things about this verse real quickly. Number one, God is saying through Moses to not only Asher, the tribe of Asher, but to all of us. Okay, God doesn't discriminate with his promises. He promised it to Asher, we've got it also. God says, no matter how your days go, you're having a good day. I'll give you strength, the inner strength you need to get through that day. You're having a bad day, I'll give you an extra measure of strength to get through that day. Whatever kind of strength you need for that particular day, I will give you that strength for that day. Having a tough day at work, as your day, so shall your strength be also. Having an easy day, as your strength, so shall your day be also. Having a day filled with peace, well, you don't need much for today, but I'll give it to you. Days of war, days of uncertainty, days of pain and sickness when your health is failing, days of bereavement in tough times of temptation, as your days, so shall your strength be also. And God has promised to measure out to us enough strength to make it through the day. And for that day when you're finally facing your mortality, God will give you strength to make it through that final day. But not only that, it's not only strength for each day, no matter how much strength you need, but as your days, how many days you've got left? Well, if I'm doing Bible mathematics, there's by reason of strength, 80 years, 70 to 80, right? I've got 3 years to go, and I start the countdown. That's not fun. I don't know how many years you've got. If you were 10 years behind me at Sunset, you've got a lot more. That's not fair. By reason of strength, 80 years, God says, I will give you not only strength for each day, but for every day that you're alive, I'll give you strength for that day. So folks, here's a promise. No matter what kind of day you got, God's going to give you strength. If you've got 1,000 days left, he'll keep giving you that inner strength for the next 1,000. I've just seen April. I was looking, he said, is that blonde next to Larry? I knew the other one. It's April. She had business cards at the age of, what, 6? Sorry, I get easily, my mind wanders real easily. Okay, back to this. If you've got 20 years left, there'll be enough strength for each day for the next 20 years. But you know, isn't that what God tried to teach them in the wilderness? When he said, now hold it. You're complaining about being hungry. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a manna bread from heaven, right out of heaven's kitchen, every day. Boom. Every morning they came out. Manna, manna, manna. You know, I don't know. It's good stuff. It's good being classic peanut butter. You know. But then what did some do? We think we'll collect for 2 or 3 days, right? And what happened? Went bad. What was God trying to teach him? I'll provide for you one day at a time. One day at a time. Now I'll tell you a quick story and then we'll be through. This happened about the year 1900. I forget where I read it. I think I heard it from Jim McGuigan, actually. There was this young lady who decided to become a missionary in China. And she had left England, the port of Southampton, got on a steamer and for 6 weeks or so sailed all the way around the bottom of Africa on the way to China. She had never been there before. She didn't know who was meeting her. Somebody was meeting her. She never spoke the language. She didn't know where she was going to stay, who she was going to stay with. And it started to get to her. Now, I don't know about how you'd feel about, you know, I mean, these days I'm afraid of getting out of Texas. You know, I mean, sometimes afraid of getting out of bed, actually. But here's a young woman whose faith had led her to the point where she's going to China to tell them about Jesus. She's on a steamer in the middle of probably the Indian Ocean, and she is petrified. And that night, after many awful nights at sea as that boat's rocking around up and down on the waves, she has this dream. And this dream has her standing in the middle of the Indian Ocean on a 2x4. Absolutely nothing around her. She's standing, balancing precariously on a 2x4. And then in her dream, she hears the voice of God saying, take a step forward. You've got to be kidding. You know, this ocean all around, I'm balancing on a 2x4. And the voice says, take a step forward. Anyway, in the dream, this argument with God continues until she finally goes. And as her foot hits the water, the 2x4 appears. And the 2x4 behind her disappears. And then the voice says, take another step. Another 2x4 appears. As your strength. Now you're supposed to say this back to me because Al Jolly set the precedent here. I'm going to say as your strength, and then you're going to say, so shall your strength be also. So shall your strength be also. As your days. You know, Jesus tried to teach us that, didn't he? He said, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As your days, so shall your strength be also. 1 2x4 per day. 1 2x4 per day. It's Sunday, folks. Don't look for Monday's 2x4. Don't look for Tuesday's 2x4. Stand on today's 2x4. When tomorrow morning arrives, you know what's going to be there? Another 2x4. As your days, so shall your strength be also. But you know, if you're anything like me, I'm looking for next week Thursday's 2x4, right? And I've got to learn that lesson one step at a time. Dear Savior, I tried to find that song in the songbook, but I couldn't, so I whipped out my brain. And I found it, if it's still here. One step at a time, dear Savior, I cannot. before. And the song goes on, and we've all sang it since we were that high. One step at a time, dear Savior. So here's the bottom line. You're going to encounter life every day that you live. You're not going to have all the answers, and things are going to happen around you, and you're just going to say, I don't know why this happened. But I want you to know this. There's going to be a 2x4 tomorrow. As your days, so shall your strength be also. And there'll be one the following day and the following day for every day that you live. Let me encourage you to live life to the fullest. To live it one day at a time. To live life as if this was your last day. And then wait each day for the Lord to bless you with another 2x4. When you live like that, folks, the Bible starts to make sense. Let me read some quick passages as we dismiss. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My God shall supply all your needs. Those who trust in the Lord will not be dismayed. I can do all things through Christ. We walk by faith and not... Oh, the Bible just reiterates that promise. As your days, isn't God great? Isn't God great? Thank you for allowing me to come here. Thank you for the time that you gave me to learn some things about God while I was at this place. And thank you, Robert, for teaching me humility, brother. God bless you all.